In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The great banquet is eternal life. It is salvation. It is the kingdom of God. Take your pick. These are all the same thing. It is reclining at God's table. It is the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. We tend to give a very general label to this. We call it heaven, paradise. To be with God at His banquet, that is heaven. That is bliss. That is the beatific vision. Who is invited to this banquet? As we see in the parable, everyone now is. The Lord's invitation does not stop at the house of Israel, but it goes out to all nations. The invitation knows no bounds. The Lord wants His banquet hall absolutely full, no room left over. While St. Paul uses the analogy of breaking off branches from a tree to make room to graft in new ones, the truth is that the Lord's math always far surpasses ours. Just consider how all of the Lord's banquets multiply, how 5 loaves and 2 fish feed everyone with 12 baskets left over. Or how His holy body and precious blood are boundless, even though the souls that they feed are countless. And so the banquet halls of God are not limited in the same way. The Lord does not run His kingdom like the airlines, overbooking, anticipating no-shows. The call of the Master's servants is, just as an old hymn from our old hymnal sang, there is still room. But this invitation was rejected. The Lord rejected no one. But to reject the call is to reject the Lord who calls. This parable follows one of Jesus' clearest and saddest statements about God's unconditional and universal grace and what it means to despise it. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. The Lord invites, and He invites everyone, and He is sincere in His invitation. He has prepared it all Himself. God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world to Himself, not counting our trespasses against us. And now that message of self-reconciliation, that invitation to God's great wedding banquet, has been entrusted to His servants. And the message that they bring is, come, for everything is now ready. But then the excuses begin. The servants are sent back. The gospel is rejected. And as the Lord has said about those that He sends to proclaim this gospel, he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Now, who would reject God? Who would reject eternal life? Who would ignore heaven? Well, that is a deep and dark question, since the answer is, we would. This is who we are since the fall. Our one human race is afflicted with wills that are not free to choose the good, but are bound to chase after the evil. Not only sinful, but also full of excuses too. It was, after all, in paradise when Adam and Eve walked with God and were known by Him with no fear at all. In that heaven, sin entered the world. They had heaven. They forgot that when the serpent spoke. They looked for some other heaven instead, a heaven that God had not given to them. And that's no heaven at all. That was eternal separation from God. Now, there are people who say that God chooses some for heaven and others for hell. There are other people who say that he offers heaven and then he waits for us to choose it, either by our will or by our works. But either way, those are pretty weak summaries of Christianity. They focus us in on heaven, but they cannot finally tell us whether we will ever, in fact, get there. First of all, what's missing is Jesus. Any heaven without Jesus is no heaven at all. And second, the honor of our most holy faith belongs to Jesus alone. We are named after Christ. We are not named after heaven. Jesus is more than just a means to an end. He is the beginning and the end. Like Lady Wisdom from our Old Testament reading in Proverbs 9, the banquet that Jesus prepares for us is himself. He invites us into communion with him. The simple gain wisdom, and they walk in the way of insight because they are invited to wisdom's table to eat and to drink of wisdom. The fools and the scoffers reject it with all their excuses. It is their choosing that condemns them. And it's the same way with Christ's kingdom. Heaven is not just a place that Jesus can get you. Heaven is to know Jesus. It is to feast with him, to be filled with the life that he is. The kingdom of God is Jesus. Because he is like that master who sets out the banquet and invites the whole world to feast. And this is why Jesus tells today's parable. This is how it started. One of those reclining at table with Jesus said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." That is an absolutely impious statement, though it sounds very pious and good. It's impious because it is in the future tense. We will eat bread in the kingdom of God. The Pharisee who uttered it was looking for heaven somewhere far away and long off. He did not see that the kingdom of God was among you. For the kingdom of God is Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, there his kingdom is. And think about this. Whoever is eating with Jesus is already at his banquet. They are the honored guests. He prepares it all, and it is theirs. Now, that Pharisee may have desired the kingdom. He may have wanted it. He may have recognized that it will be a blessed thing to eat the bread of life there. But here, the kingdom of God is reclining right in front of him. And he's off looking somewhere else, looking for heaven. Somewhere other than in Jesus. He does not know the day of his visitation. And that is insulting to the God who is right in front of him. It is insulting to Christ, and it is insulting to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ to talk about heaven or about election apart from Jesus, away from him, or somewhere off in the future. So how then do we heed this warning from this parable, dear Christians? How do we navigate between these two errors that either God waits for us to choose or to earn his favor, or that God's grace is only limited to some because he has chosen the rest to go to hell? Well, we do it by cherishing the invitation that our Lord gives. We do not speculate into some hidden and future mystery like that Pharisee, even though his theologizing sounded very pious. Instead, we hear the Lord's word and we believe it. We seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness here, right here, where our Lord gives it, in his gospel and in the sacraments. The gracious election of God is found and is sought and is known in the universal and the unconditional call of the gospel, the word of reconciliation, the word of invitation that is in Jesus Christ and his blood. That alone is certain. And if the Lord promises so certainly and calls so unconditionally, then we not only can be certain that we are saved, we must be. Otherwise, we are insulting him just as that Pharisee who's looking forward, maybe someday in the future, to heaven, who refuses to acknowledge what the Lord his God is saying right in front of him, now, here. The kingdom of God is not merely past or future tense. It is now. It is here in his invitation, in his call, which is not to be rejected. It is in the Lord's invitation, the gospel of reconciliation, that Jesus brings us into his Father's kingdom. He delivers the reconciliation of his cross to us. And he brings us to his eternal banquet, and he says, everything is now ready. Now, here. Blessed then is everyone who eats bread in the kingdom of God now, who feasts on the gospel message, the forgiveness of sins, and who feasts not on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And who feasts indeed not on bread alone, but on the very body of Christ, as his sincere word declares. Whoever trusts the gracious call of the gospel has eternal life right now. You are with Jesus. You are reconciled to God. You are saved and have eternal life now. That is what Christ's invitation, the invitation that goes out from his banquet hall, announces today. Come, for everything is now ready. You are no longer fighting as enemies and traitors against his kingdom, but you are received as redeemed guests. The separation of sin is undone. The curse has given way to blessing. And I tell you the truth, dear saints, you are already in heaven. You're only waiting for your old Adamic flesh to be put to death for good. And so it is that we are in the habit of confessing and praying from our deepest heart as a congregation, and, no surprise, just before we are invited to eat at the Lord's Supper table. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we hear and now remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.